She was born and raised in Oahu. She's a graduate of HMA. She's graduated from New Bold College. Is that how you say it? New Bold College. And she's currently now living in Seattle. For some reason, when Pastor Bushnell saw her, he got her on the schedule because she's due to leave in 2 weeks going back to Seattle. So we're glad to have her here today with us. And she's brought with her her three boys. The first one name is Chance. Is that correct?
Yes.
Chance, 8. David, 3. And she got a 16-month child, Michael. Can they please stand so we can acknowledge them? Are they in the back there? They're somewhere in the back. There they go in the back. So that's her family. You know, when we first got here about 11 years ago, she was amazed that I remember so much about her because some people sticks in your mind. I remember her giving a service at the Central Church years ago. And the facts, for some reason, stuck in my mind about her because, I could feel the Holy Spirit and the sincerity in what she was doing. I remember what college she graduated from, what college that she was selected for, that she had got married, and so on. So I remember a lot of facts about her. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in what she was doing. So set your hearts up for the Holy Spirit to open up your hearts today. So with no further things to say, the next voice you will hear is Jennifer Hernandez.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It is so good to be back on Oahu. And thankfully, we're here till January, so we're not just flying in and flying out as usual. It is great to be back here in your church. The last time that I did a sermon here, I believe, was 1999. And the last time I sang here, I believe, was in 2002. So 6 years on, I still know a few faces. Many of you are new, and praise God for Ray, because I remember her, definitely. And thank you so much for opening your church today. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, let the words of my mouth be yours, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds in order to be able to receive a clearer picture of you. Amen. As Dennis mentioned, I did go off to New Bold College. I went in 1999 for a gap year, returned home, and then went back again in 2004. And I went because I felt called that God was calling me to the ministry. And so my plan in 2004 was to take my family and I and begin my studies in one, behavioral sciences, and continue on with my master's in theology so that I could further my work for him. And for 2 years, life in England, if you can imagine this, coming from Hawaii, well, completely contrast, you know, you have some of this, but it's much colder than all of this. Finances were extremely hard, but God managed to pull us through. In September of 2006, I was asked to head up a team to Russia. And before I go into that, let me ask you, what does it mean to serve Christ? Anyone? Bible study. Anything else? Serving Christ entails Bible study and... I'm sorry, I can't hear. For God allowed to be the Savior of life. Prayer. A willing heart. Thank you. A willing heart. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23 brings us one of the best examples of a godly person seeking to do God's will. In 1 Samuel 23, starting with verse 2, it starts with the little known story of David when he was in a battle for Keilah. During the time that David was on the run from King Saul, David had had enough trouble of his own trying to protect his modest band of men from the Israelite army. But then word came around that this particular town, Keilah, was being threatened by the Philistines. He began by asking God in verse 2, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" Now notice that he didn't assume that just because he once was an anointed prophet of God, David did not assume that he could just go and win a battle at any time, any given place. He knew how important it was to be led by the Lord in every new situation. He knew how important this was because down in verse 4, he inquires of the Lord once again, "Shall I go?" And God answered in the affirmative, "Go and attack." David knew that if God did lead him into a situation, God's provision would follow him. Wherever God leads us, there is an umbrella of protection that follows us. This umbrella can be the divine resources of wisdom, of finance, of transport, of anything that we require for us to do what God has asked us to do. But it doesn't mean that there won't be any problems or difficulties. Wherever the Lord leads, He must then, by necessity, help us. In 2006, I was asked to lead a team to Russia to introduce a contemporary style of worship. I had a team of 15 people. And now the problem with this was the fact that tickets to Russia were about 500 pounds, including visas. This is about $1,000. And with that, it was almost a go, but the problem was that our visas wouldn't arrive until the day that we were supposed to leave. And without visas, we can't enter into a different country. And we couldn't nail down the airline tickets because we didn't have the visas. And so now here we were, St. Petersburg is expecting us, and here we are 2 days before we're to leave to Russia. And we were praying all along, but I began to pray even harder. And I said, "God, you called me to lead this team for you. I want you to show us the way into Russia." He answered by flying in our visas the night before we were to leave. And right when we flew it in, the agent came and took our visas, brought it to the airlines, and nailed down an airline ticket that was lower than was originally planned. We went there and was able to introduce a new style of worship for Christ. In the story of Abraham, God directed him to do only one thing, and that was to leave. And in return, God would bless him abundantly. This command required Abram to leave his country, leave his people, and in all, leave his comfort zone. He had to give up the land he knew best, the culture he grew up in, everything. Now, people walking by faith, if that's you and me, often hear God's voice telling us to leave. Now, leave because it's time to move on to something new. Do you realize that? Whenever we get comfortable, God says, go. And this could mean leaving your home. This could mean severing precious or ending precious friendships. This could mean a whole host of things, losing your job. But everything is difficult. But when you walk by faith, God never lets you settle down into some plateau. Just when you reach a point in your life when you are ready to pitch your tent and live there, he says, pack up your tent and go. Now, this was the story of Abram. In fact, he was never allowed to settle down for the rest of his life. We cannot live off of the commands of God, but rather God's promises. Because it is the grace of God that flows through his promises. God must first do for us what he promised to do, and only then will we be able to walk in obedience to his commands. He is our source, and everything must come from him. And the promises of God bring us hope, it does, if we respond in faith as Abram did. Now, fast forward to last year in 2007, and I was ready to graduate. I was due to graduate in July from behavioral sciences, and I was due to start my master's in theology in September. And let me tell you, I was so excited, because after all these years of hard work, I was finally going to start the ministry and studying to learn how to go about it. Now, my graduation day was in July 7 of last year. I was 9 months pregnant. Amen. In June, 1 month before that, a month and a half before that, June 19, on my husband's birthday, I went to the office to pay my final tuition. I did, and then I went to my mailbox. And in my mailbox, I found a letter saying, "Dear Jennifer, thank you so much for using Newbold College as your tools for success in the future. We know that you are planning to start your MA in September, and we hope you're looking forward to that, because we are, but someone is already slated, a family is already slated to take your apartment once you graduate. So please be ready to move out in 1 month." Okay, I was 9 months pregnant. Where on earth was I supposed to go? And so I held that letter and I thought, well, today's his birthday. Should I go tell him now? And I went and told him. He hit that steering wheel so hard. And we were on our way to a doctor's appointment for my final appointment before giving birth. And he said, "We're going to go to the doctor's appointment, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to walk into that office and demand an explanation, because you are a regular patron. We just paid your tuition. You know, you should never have paid your tuition, because then that will, you know, make us stay longer." And I thought, no, then I can't graduate. And he said, oh, he was extremely angry. And as we were driving, the thought occurred to me. Now, our car was on the verge of breaking down. Our phones had already broken down. Everything was breaking. And I said, honey, what if we're not meant to be here anymore? And he said, what do you mean? You're supposed to start your theology in September. You've worked all these years for it. Why would God tell you not to be here? And I said, well, he goes, you are working for his service, Jen. I said, well, I'm just saying, what if this is the opportunity that God's saying, you know, maybe we're not supposed to be in England. Maybe we should go back to the States, to Andrews. He said, and how are we going to do that? We have no money. Oh, I don't know. And he said, no, definitely not a plan. We arrived back at the financial office, and we prayed before walking in. We gave this specific prayer. God, if we are not meant to be in England, let us walk in and let nobody in that financial office talk to us. Now, we knew that this was impossible because only an hour before, they're closing 4 hours from then, an hour before everyone was in there. And so we set this test to God, knowing that there was a whole bunch of people in there. We walked in, and I am telling you, that pew was the glass. Everybody saw us. We did everything to catch their attention. But did anyone come out? No. I tried to call in from the outside, and nobody came out. Finally, one staff member came out and said, would you please look at that sign behind you? And it said, closed for training, return in 1 month. 1 month being the time that we were set to be leaving the apartment. I thought, oh, this is not it. Our anger was so much that we just couldn't contain it, and we walked out saying a whole bunch of stuff we shouldn't have been saying. And I said, I know. Go home, and I'll call the conference office, and maybe they can sponsor me, finally. Well, okay. I called the conference office. And they told me, you know, let me tell you something. If you were to stay in Newbold, you'd be wasting your time. Because the theology degree that you would get there would not enable you to preach in the U.S. It would enable you to teach. You need your Master's of Divinity in the U.S. So it's really up to you what you want to do. But if you want to be a minister, you shouldn't be staying there. And I thought, right. So I turned to my husband and I said, we got our answer. You know that, right? No one in that office talked to us. God answered. He said, yes, but I didn't mean it. Where are we supposed to go, Jen? I said, I don't know. And I called the landlord for the college and explained to him my situation. He said, no, I'm sorry. You do have to leave. We were broken down. One, we had no savings. We had nothing. We're poor college students. We had nothing. Two, I'm about to roll out this child on the carpet. And we knew, he said, if we are to leave, this means we have 1 month. We have to find someone to live with for a month. I need to work here for a month just to raise money so that we can buy our plane tickets. I said, okay. He went to his boss the next day, and he told him what was going on. His boss said, hold on, just hold on. Okay. The next day, he said, what would it take for you to stay here for 6 months? Higher pay? Because the rent at the college is so much less than renting outside. I would need double the pay to stay here. I said, I don't know if we can do double, but let's go back. He came back, we can't do double. We need you to be in a managerial position. That won't happen. But I do need you here for 6 months to train you, or to train someone else to take your place. He said, how's about this? How's about we pay you for 6 months, your pay, the pay that we're giving you now, and the company will take care, will move you out of the college and take care of your rent outside the college and your utility bills. And he said, hold on, let me ask my wife. He called me. I said, why are you asking me? Say yes. And then he said, okay. So we thought, amen, praise God. They moved us out. We moved to a different place. Now we had no car because it officially broke down. But God is good because we were right next to the bus stop. Now imagine me trailing three kids and myself on a bus stop. Yes, amen for the bus. And you know, England had this specific system where you could, there was actually a place to roll on the strollers. So that worked. A few weeks down the line, his boss came back to him and said, or the boss's boss came back to him and said, where are you going in at the end of these 6 months, where are you going to? He said, yeah, back to Hawaii to live with my in-laws. There's mom right there. Hi, ma. And he said, and then he goes, well, we'd really like to go to Michigan to finish your schooling, but that won't happen because we need money. Have you ever thought about working in Seattle? Why would I think about working in Seattle? He said, because in Seattle is the only other Technogym, which is his company, Technogym in the United States of America. He said, well, I don't know. He said, in fact, let's look online right now. They looked online, and the only job available was the job that he was going to leave. And he said, look at that. He said, let's put your app in. Give me a resume. Let me doctor it up. 2 weeks later, he was offered the job. And he said, before you accept this, what are the conditions that you want? He said, I want a good pay packet. I want 100% medical coverage for my family. I want all my Sabbaths off and be able to leave early on Fridays. And I also want, what was the third thing he wanted? Oh, that was it. Oh, no. I want 3 weeks of holiday time. He said, well, that's a tall order. He said, well, if you want me, that's what I want. 2 days later, he got accepted. Amen. And we were moved into, we left England on the 27th of January. In the meanwhile, here was I questioning God. God, why are we leaving here? What about my schooling for you, God? What's your plan for me? He just said, go. Amen. The book of Hebrews tells us that by faith, Abram obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Hebrews 11:8. He had no map, no AAA brochure, no hotels mapped out along the way. His caravan simply headed west toward the Mediterranean. God said that he would show Abram where he was to stop sometime in the future, whenever he got to where God wanted him to go. Now, you and I would struggle with this, wouldn't we? If God said to go, we would struggle. We would say, is this cost effective? How can I be sure that I'm going to be taken care of? What is going to happen? We do very few things by faith as Christians. For me, I was fighting a mental and emotional battle. This move back to the States meant that I would need to leave my comfort zone again. I would need to leave my great friends, my active church life. I would have to start all over again. We didn't know where we were going to live. We had no mode of transportation for our family. We had no savings. God, are you sure, God? I pleaded with him. Is Seattle really where you want us to be? He said, yes, trust me, just go. Now, Abram didn't have a clue where he was going. He simply headed toward the Mediterranean, and that was that. He headed with complete faith that God was going to lead him. Now, if you and I would have met up with Abraham in the desert at some oasis, the conversation might have gone like this. Mr. Abram, where are you going? I don't know. Well, you have a great entourage here. How are you going to feed them? I don't know. God's going to provide. Who's going to protect you from the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all these warring tribes that are going to be coming after you? you know, I don't know. God just said that he would protect me, and he walks away. We arrived in Seattle on the 28th of January of this year, near midnight. The driver looked at us and our 15 boxes, the five of us, and he looked at his shuttle to the hotel. He said, this is not going to work. And then he watched in amazement as my husband managed to just pile everything in, and all of us. We got into bed at 2:30 in the morning, up 5 hours later, and by 6 o'clock that evening, we had acquired a 2007 Dodge Caravan and a three-bedroom apartment overlooking Lake Washington. The Bible promises in Deuteronomy 5:33. In Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in all the ways that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong all your days in the land that you possess. Now, when I read that first, when I got here, walk in the ways that God has commanded you. Okay, God, we're walking. We're here in Seattle, and you will prosper. Oh, we got a van, we got a place. But all too soon, our awesome beginning in Seattle began to fall apart at the seams. The higher salary that had been offered to my husband looked good in England, but the cost of living in Seattle was much higher than we had expected it to be. And we began to feel the crunch in our finances. Our rent was high, is high, $1,600 a month. Everything was expensive, and we were living from paycheck to paycheck. And to top it off, in March, April, we had to give our van back to the dealership because they kept on wanting a higher and higher down payment, and we couldn't afford it. And I asked God, God, why? Why now? You opened up the way. We're here. How am I going to transport my family? And you know what he told me? He said, that's why I taught you how to ride the bus back in England. Back to the bus it was. In Galatians 6:9, it reads, Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. By this time, we had made a new friend. He was from Hawaii, but hadn't been back living there for years. We'd met a new friend who had offered us the use of his second vehicle. Old junky car. He even offered to sell it to us for $900, something around there. But we refused it because we just couldn't afford it. In August, he had to move, and he asked us to... Now, this guy, being from Hawaii, he's very sociable, and we've seen all the friends that come and have parties with him in his apartment, with his family, but when it came down to moving, there was nobody around to help him. And he asked us, would you help me, please? Now, they had so much stuff in this three-bedroom apartment, you could not walk without bumping into anything. And so we said, all right. One of the days happened to be a Sabbath. And he said, listen, I need to be out of here today. And I know you go to church. But I'm just wondering, could you please just help me? Because there's no way I can get out of here. And we thought, oh, the Sabbath. And my husband said, you know what, honey? God knows where our hearts are and that we're going to help out this man. And if it even just brings him a closer picture of God, let's do it. So we did. One day turned out into 3 days. He was out by that night, but we had to clean up everything else. He came up to us 3 days later and he said, your husband talks so much about how God has blessed you and how God continues to bless you in your lives apart from all the obstacles that you have gone through. Well, let me bless you. let me lower the car payment to $300, and you can pay it back whenever next year after you come back from Hawaii. Are you sure? Yes, that's how much of a blessing you've been to me. So church, God provides. Even when we don't know where it's coming from, if we say we're going to serve Him, whether or not it's serving other people, He will still provide for us in ways that we just do not and cannot imagine. In the meanwhile, I felt that I was in limbo. Because while God definitely seemed to have plans for my husband, you know, He gave him the job in Seattle, I was left wondering, where did God want me? I felt that He had forgotten all about me. And I said, God, what about my education, Lord? Lord, You stopped me right when I was about to start for You. Why would You do that? Now, you may think that this is an abrupt way to talk to God, but not for me. I demanded of Him, and I asked Him, what about me, Lord? What about my service to You? Why am I here in Seattle? And how can I be still used in the ministry? Because I want to serve You. I began to get active in church again, started with worship leading. And one day I called the pastor for some information. And at the end of the conversation, he offered to pray with me. And I will never forget his prayer. He said, Lord, thank You for bringing Jennifer and her family from England to us because You knew that we need them here. Lord, I ask You to allow her to use her ministry and her talents here in Seattle in our church and let her see where Your plan is. Amen. I was shocked and I mumbled a goodbye. Right at that point, I had been hit with a lightning bolt so big, and it just nailed me. Because you know what? It doesn't matter, and it didn't matter why God told us to leave England. It did not matter why we were there in Seattle, why we are there in Seattle. What matters is, what am I doing for God right now? How am I serving Him right now? Because in any way I serve Him, He will still lead. Amen. And He asked me then, right there, after the phone, what are you doing for me right now? I started to serve Him with a whole lot more purpose and zeal. And I kept on asking Him, Lord, continue to show me where You want me in Your ministry, because I'm serving You. I will speak for You whenever. I will sing for You whenever. I will work in children's divisions for You whenever. And you know what? Never tell God that, because He's going to start flooding your way, which is what He did. My pastor asked me to speak this past August. And in my message, I included how we came out of of England to Seattle. After the sermon, I didn't know that a gentleman had been sitting in the audience. He came up, introduced himself, and introduced himself also as a former pastor, retired, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He said, I have been impressed to tell you that you are still in this ministry, that God still wants you in this ministry. And I have talked to your pastor. And when you are ready, start an internship here. And after your internship here, we will sponsor you to Andrews College. And I looked at him, kind of floored, because I said, are you really? He said, yes, start your internship here, and when you're ready, when you're settled, call him up. He will tell you the options available to you. I don't know how much we can sponsor you, but we will sponsor you to Andrews. God had answered my prayer. Now, church, I don't know if this offer will go through, because even the best laid plans, even the plans that we think God is laying for us, He may completely change His mind. But I know that if we are willing to serve Him unconditionally, despite any obstacles, and whether we're down and we say, God, I don't know, but I am here, I am yours, let me serve you anyway, He will open up a path that is completely unimaginable to our imaginations, and He will make it work. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to stand firm in God's work, because whether you're here in your church or out there in the community, you can be serving Him in 1,000 ways, and He will point that out to you. Stand firm and always, always serve Him with a willing heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask, Lord, that You give us the courage to stand firm, Lord, despite all the obstacles that are thrown our way, Lord. Let us still open up our hearts in service for You, Lord, because we know that when we do, You will reap miracles that are beyond our wildest imaginations, Lord. Allow us to serve You with open hearts, God. Amen.
Jennifer, thank you for the word of God. Let us all stand for 359, Hawk the Voice of Jesus Calling. Thank you.